You don't want to give love to someone that doesn't reciprocate it. You don't want it to go to waste on the wrong person, for especially for too long.
A lot of people have this ironclad perception of what it means to be family, and they care about the perception and the image more than they care about the actual members of their family and who they are as individuals. We're going more existential today, and we're going to ask the question, what does it even mean to have a sibling? What's the purpose of a sibling?
Yeah.
I'm curious, like, what your initial thoughts on that are. Like, you don't have to have any answers,
but
more of just, like, maybe that sprouts some other questions.
I think the obvious, like, surface level answer is, like, someone you're born, like, with is, like, the same, you know, like bloodline. You know, it's like obviously we're related by blood.
Yeah, we have the same parents.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Jonathan's but, adopted.
Yeah. honestly, I think anyone can be a sibling. It's like, I think a sibling is more than a friend, you know, because most of us have friends.
You're like, not me, but I know most people do.
I know most people do. You know, it's like we all have that like one friend that we trust everything with, and I think that's what it's like to be a sibling, you know, like brothers from another mother. You know, like someone that you're able to speak your mind with without being judged, someone you're able to share your interests and hobbies with. I think that's what a sibling is, and I'm able to do that with you, and I love that.
Yeah, that's cool. So I've noticed a lot of Gen Z talking about being able to choose your family, and I think that's for two reasons, at least from what I've noticed. The first reason is just like religious trauma. Mm-hmm. There's a huge emphasis on the family and like the importance of family, especially in the Mormon church. In the LDS religion, but I think just Christianity in general.
Yeah, it's a huge stepping stone, I think, partially for good reason. It's a very, very big deal having like someone there with you all the time, but you failed at life if you haven't gotten married yet, you know?
That's not good. Yeah. So I guess there's like multiple layers to the family thing. Cause I was thinking in terms of like the family that you are born into.
Yeah.
Yeah, also just bringing up this pressure to like start a family. Like yeah, that's
the I guess that's the ultimate family you get to choose is choosing a spouse.
Yeah. Like
choosing if you want kids after that and how many kids and
yeah, that's a good point. I think the other thing is the issue of like being born into a family that just doesn't understand you at all.
Yeah.
Like, and I know that there's a lot of people that empathize with that and have experienced that. I'm glad that I was born into the family that I was.
Same.
But I think there are other ways you can choose your family too. For instance, if you have family that is just not like moving in the same direction as you in life and really just doesn't understand you or doesn't fully accept you, you do need that support system, like you said, having those people around you.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't come in the form of blood relatives, then you're going to have to get it somewhere else.
Yeah. I absolutely agree. Everyone needs a support system, and it's, you know, it's up to you whether that's your blood family or if they're not supportive enough, you know, friends. And, you know, it's like, you don't have really anyone out here in Nashville. You just have Nicole and Conley.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Well, and us right now. But
yeah.
And it's like, I mean, you have like people that you've met, obviously, but
it's not the same.
Yeah. It's not the same as blood family. It's always nice to connect with your roots because, you know, like it or not, your family's gone through very similar situations as you. You know, like we moved to the same houses, We lived in the same neighborhoods, drove the same cars. Well, maybe not literally the same cars, but, you know.
Yeah, pretty much. Did you get to drive the 94 Camry at all?
No, I didn't. Mm. Was it fun?
It was fun. Yeah, I liked that car. Real shame. They don't make V6s in the Camrys anymore.
That stinks.
Yeah.
Not even like the sport ones?
No.
Okay, well, I didn't know that.
I think the Camry TRD has a V6, but yeah, they're not. I don't know if they're going to make that anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like, they kind of half-assed it. It's like not really a sports car. And it's barely faster than the hybrid XSE.
Yeah.
So it's just more expensive.
Interesting.
That was a tangent.
That was.
Yeah, drove the same cars, moved to the same neighborhoods.
Yeah, you know, like we all had the same family games that we'd get mad at, like Monopoly Millionaire.
True.
Yeah. We actually brought that game.
Wait, really?
Yeah, we did.
Dude, play it. I remember when we first got that and we played it like all the time.
Yes.
And then we would like wake up in the morning after playing it at night and we would play it. And like, come on, dude. Give it a break.
Yeah.
Ugh. We would do the same stuff with movies too. Yeah. We would watch like a fun, like a movie that we were just super excited about.
And just over and over again.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah.
What significance do you think that has that like your family members have been through the same stuff as you?
Because
like you have shared experiences and then you have totally different ones.
Yeah.
And it seems like the unique experiences happen in between the shared ones.
Yeah, that's true. But I also think like the unique experiences mostly come from like perspective. But yeah, I guess that also comes from in between the shared experiences. You know, like when we lived in Utah, I think me and maybe Jonathan were like the only ones that actually somewhat enjoyed it out there.
Mm.
And I don't really know your side of the story a whole lot with that, but I know Kimberly, you know, the very few friends that she did have were very toxic. And, you know, like they left like her own birthday party to go swim at a different pool. And it's like,
that's the most St. George shit I've ever heard.
It's so sad. It was.
I think I remember her like talking about that. Yeah. That's jacked, dude.
And there's just so much, you know, I think stuff like that, it's like, yeah, we all had the same experience of living in St. George and it was hot. And all of the electronics got fried on the move, and you know, and
the weather was boring.
Yeah, there was like,
it was kind of nice, but it was boring.
Yeah, you know, like the one day we got like, no, 2 days we had like an inch of snow, and they like canceled school all over because they didn't have snow plows.
And then didn't it just melt?
Yeah, like, it did. Right, it was like really muddy the next few days, but it dried up so fast. You know, just I think things like that. It's like we. You know, we had those experiences of St. George, but what happened in St. George was very different. Like, I made friends literally as soon as we, like, pulled up. We were unloading cars, and then, you know, my friend Landon's mom, she, like, walked out, and she's like, oh, hey, you look like the same age as my kid. They're over there at the house. Want to go hang out? And I was like, sure. And they were really good. Still in touch with them. You know, we don't hang out, obviously, because they live halfway across, you know, the country from me, but
you're still in touch with Landon?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, dude.
Yeah, on Instagram. Chat every once in a while. But yeah, that's like a completely different story. Like as much as I didn't like it, I think it was much more pleasurable than what you guys all had to go through.
Yeah, I don't know if like the struggle is moving in the middle of high school or what it was like, because when we moved there, I had just finished sophomore year in Missouri.
Yeah. And I did all of my high school at the same school. So you were at three different.
Yeah. So I went to Hollister, and then in St. George, I did Desert Hills.
And then you did TUACON
for senior year. So like, it was also very weird going from a small high school to Desert Hills, which had like 2,000-3,000 kids, something like that.
Yeah, Hollister's is so small.
It's like 100 kids a grade. It's like really small. So, dude, my St. George experience was ass, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, I found a couple, like I had a friend, Matt.
Mm-hmm. Remember Matt? Yeah, the dirt bikes, right?
Yeah.
Introduced you to Monster.
Yeah, that's true. And like he was the only one that I felt like I could be myself with. With, you know, out of all the other guys that we were going to church with.
Yeah.
All of those other guys just seemed so like they were so cliquish and so fake and
yeah,
so like superficial. Like their all of their friendship was based on the media that they liked and nothing else. Like I never heard them talk about anything like below the surface. And maybe that was because I was there. I don't know. Like,
yeah, maybe
I'll give them the benefit of the doubt on that. But, you know, with Matt, it was a little different. Like I think Matt and I were both questioning the church at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't really thought about that dynamic until just now, but I'm really grateful for that friendship with him because we were able to just talk about stuff that didn't make sense.
Yeah.
I think we both stopped going to church around the same time, although I did leave before him.
Yeah, like officially left.
Yeah.
I had a pretty good friend at school. I don't know if you remember Rhett, but we like wrote books together and he came over to our house a few times. I think he went over
to St. George.
Yeah. But I found out pretty recently that he, I don't know if his whole family moved to Arizona, but I know he did and he's doing welding and he left the church.
Mm.
And you know, we never talked about it then. It's like, I was like 10. but yeah, it's crazy how like you kind of meet up with friends that have, you know, similar experiences. Like I know, Matt, Landon, they were always, not necessarily always moving around. Especially not like cross state, but just like city to city. Like Landon moved like twice within like, you know, the 2 years that we were there.
Mm.
So yeah, I think it's really important to have like those surface level connections. Cause I think that's like what draws you to them. You know, like, oh, you like Oblivion.
Yeah, so, I love that movie.
Cool. Yeah, and it's such a great movie. And then, you know, you can grow stuff more from there. And I think that's the difference between siblings and friends is, you know, like friends, they may have your back, but for the most part, it's just kind of, we like the same stuff. But siblings, it's like, we like the same stuff and I have your back no matter what. And
I actually understand you.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I'm actively trying to understand you.
Yeah. Yeah. I like, you know, actively trying to understand you. I feel like, yeah, what does it mean to be a sibling? I mean, like, cause we said in the beginning, yes, you're blood relatives, like you have the same parents, but, it seems like what you're saying is that friends are more surface level and siblings, mm-hmm. that's like deeper. And so if you have a friend where you're really that deep with them, it's more like your brother or your sister at yeah. that point. Like that's what it means to be a brother or sister.
Mm-hmm.
And you could be that to anybody.
Yeah. Rather than being bonded through blood, you could also be bonded through experiences and I guess bonded through knowledge.
Hmm. I think also like having a shared direction.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that I've frankly been struggling with our family is there are some people in our family that I feel like we're moving in a similar direction. Like we have similar aspirations, similar goals, mm-hmm. similar, like it doesn't even have to be similar interests. That's obviously helpful. But yeah. like there are other members of our family where I feel like we want to live our lives totally differently and we're growing in different directions or not even growing at all.
Yeah.
And that's where my like draw to you is that you're like, you're, you know, you have a YouTube channel, you're doing creative stuff and you're wanting to improve your life and you're asking hard questions. and not taking everything at face value, and you're willing to scrutinize everything you've ever known. And that's, I resonate with that, obviously.
What?
Wait, what podcast are we on again? Yeah.
Yeah, and I think going a different direction is okay. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. There really isn't, like, a right or wrong way to go. It's just not. It's hard to keep a connection if your paths are going separate ways.
Yeah.
You know, so obviously you can call and text, you know, bridge that gap, but it's hard to have, like, a true connection unless you're going similar ways.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of makes me question the importance of bloodlines at all. Like, throughout history, your family bloodline has been so important. Like, you all, like, especially with empires, right? You have the Roman Empire.
We weren't going to talk about the Roman Empire.
It really did come up naturally. It did. Yeah, if you think about, like, a dynasty, for instance.
Yeah.
And it's, like, a family that rules for centuries. Like, how important is that even now? Like, what does it even mean?
Yeah, we don't have... Are there really any places that have, like, complete monarchies? It's, like, even, like, Britain has, like, advisors and stuff, and the, you know, like, I guess it's the king now. Is it the king, or is he...
I don't know. I don't keep up with British politics.
God, I don't either. Anyway, they don't really make, like, the decisions anymore, but it used to be, like, you know, like, with Napoleon, like, he didn't have an heir to pass on his throne to. And I don't know what they would have done in that situation, but they just kept on trying to have, you know, a male heir, because that was the only way to pass on the bloodline. That was the source of power. And it's just not prevalent anymore.
Yeah.
No, it's not like Joe Biden's going to, like, die and pass the torch on Hunter. It's
yeah. Yeah, that's true. Cause you got to, like, run for office and all this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, like, he could run for office and take that spot, but yeah.
I think most people are realizing how dangerous that can be, like, having one bloodline in power. And also just how unfair that is. Like you can't control who you're born to. That's the whole point of this conversation, really, is, like, you don't get to control who your family is, at least at first. At what point do you take that control and go, no, like, I don't want to be your family? Or you look at somebody else and you go, I want you to be my family.
Yeah. I think that point of choosing who you want to be your family, I think it kind of depends on experiences. You know, like, at what point have you had enough of a person that, you know, just you constantly have bad experiences with?
Hmm.
I think whenever it gets to that point where it's just like, I'm done. Whether that's after one experience or multiple, I think whenever you make that active decision to leave that relationship, I think that's the moment you like decide to choose a new family.
Yeah. I know we can both relate to that.
Yeah.
I'm sure most people listening can. Like, for a second, I thought you were going to say, like, it's based on experiences. Like, if you have enough experiences with somebody, like, you can't choose for them to not be your family anymore. And I guess I'm kind of glad you didn't say that, because, like, yeah. I was thinking the opposite, really, what you said, which is that if you've been hurt, if you've had enough negative experiences with this person, you can choose to sever that relationship. And we all said it around the campfire last night.
Yeah.
We were talking about our favorite songs and stuff. It's like, in Nicole's song, What Would You Do, when it says the bruises from you are enough, like, I don't have to let you hit me 50 million times for it to be valid for me to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you treat me poorly, I can leave. Like, I'm not in, you're not entitled to my presence. You're not entitled to my time. You're not entitled to my effort and my energy. Like, just because we're blood related, and just because I'm here on this earth physically because of you, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. It's like, I have, quite frankly, far better things to do than deal with your bullshit.
Yeah, because it is a time thing too, right? It's like, we only have so much time.
Yeah.
And like, you're clearly, let's say, pointing at a grandparent. Just a grandparent.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're clearly miserable, and you've clearly wasted a lot of your time choosing unhappiness and choosing to be unhealthy. So why would I invest the short amount of time that I have into a connection with you? Mm-hmm. I don't want to end up like you. I don't want to be like you. And quite frankly, I don't even really like you that much.
Yeah.
That's another question that's been coming up a lot in conversations with people our age is like, okay, let's just look at our family relationships objectively. Remove the fact that it's your mom or your brother or your uncle or your grandparent. Like, remove that title. Look at them just as a person and ask yourself, do I like you? Like, are you somebody that I would choose to spend time with? And yeah, if that's not the case, what do you do? What's the point in that relationship?
Yeah, I had a coworker that literally since day one, I was like, I hate you so much. And that's never happened. I really like my job. It's very hard for me to say there's ever been anyone there that I hate. You know, usually my boss is good at hiring good people that are, you know, that are worth the $14 an hour or whatever.
Yeah.
But in this scenario, like, you know, you can just like look at someone and their like outside personality is their personality. And it's not like
there's nothing beyond like,
what yeah, you see. It's just the facade, like a cardboard cutout almost. But it's like, I look at you and I know that all you do is make TikTok videos, and someday you're going to be so miserable. You like start in OnlyFans or something, and you know, you've cheated on every boyfriend you've ever had. And I was right. I was right about everything.
Jeez.
The day she left, I was like so glad. I was like, thank goodness. I literally wrote about it in my journal, and I don't write in my journal about really anything, just like a simple like favorite thing of the day. And I was like,
she made the journal.
She's gone. She's gone.
What about, like, why did it bother you so much to even just be around her, be like working with her?
I feel like all of that emotional baggage from the pain that she's caused, but also, I mean, like the pain that she's caused herself to have and the pain that she's caused others to have, it was just like, it was like Pigpen from Peanuts with like, yeah.
What?
Okay, this is really weird.
But oh, the old cartoon, yeah. Peanuts. Yeah. Oh, I was like,
he has like the dirty blanket and like, he has like the dirt cloud.
That's his name?
I think his name is Pigpen.
Okay, for some reason I thought you were going to make a Peppa Pig reference. And I was like, oh great, here we go.
No, I feel like she just had like this gross aura around her.
I can think of a couple people that
remind me of that. I'm sure we all have people in our lives like that.
It's probably you.
Just kidding, you're beautiful and we love you. it was just, I don't know, like, I even like before I talked to her, I was like, I just, it's gross.
You felt the energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, when somebody, because we were talking about growing in different directions, right? Or choosing to grow like parallel to each other. Or even grow closer together, right? You know, that's what you have to do in a marriage. You're with each other all the time. And you, like, especially if you're an ambitious couple, you kind of have to be like, you have to be best friends, obviously. Mm-hmm. You have to be romantic partners, you have to be like business partners.
Yeah.
You have to be roommates too.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? So like if you're trying to do all that, you have to choose to grow together. It's a conscious choice. Mm-hmm. Because if you're just like, if you guys are focusing on yourselves and wanting to grow as an individual, that's great. You can grow, but you can grow apart doing that. Mm-hmm. And maybe that wouldn't be a bad thing, but in order to stay together, you have to choose to grow together. And I've noticed that with people that don't make that choice at all, they just don't even make the choice to grow. They don't ask questions. Mm-hmm. They make all of these assumptions. They never take accountability. They hurt everybody in their path. And those people have a certain energy about them that is so repulsive. And it's extremely difficult when it's family. Mm-hmm. It's one thing if it's a coworker. It's like, all right, I guess I have to go to work with you every day.
Yeah, it's like 3, maybe 5 hours.
Yeah, well, for people that have full-time jobs, it's like yeah. 8.
Yeah, but, 9 to 5.
Yeah, but yeah, like even with a coworker, I can see how that would suck. You're around them every day. You're in a place where you're supposed to be doing good work, and you're just in a bad headspace because they're totally sucking the energy out of
you. It made it hard to like go to work because she was there, and it wasn't like I hated my job, like wanted to quit. And I was like, I think sooner or later she was going to quit or get fired or something. And again,
did she quit or did she get fired?
She quit. She went to Freeman with a whole bunch of other toxic biatches.
What's Freeman?
It's a hospital. Oh. She's like a front counter lady. I guess you can do that at hospitals. Like you don't need like medical experience.
Just like a receptionist, basically.
Yeah.
Hi, how can I hurt you today? That's her question.
Yeah.
They give her a script and she like has like toxic person dyslexia. And so she like sees, hi, how can I help you today? And her brain like switches it around. Yeah. She's like, hi, how can I make you miserable this evening?
Yeah. Yeah. And you were talking about accountability, and there is, someone asked the question, on their story, like, I guess this kind of ties in. Which is more painful, holding on to someone or something that you love or letting go? Mm. And her response was letting go of the boyfriend I cheated on.
No way, dude.
That's serious.
Crazy, bro.
And I shared that one and then like one other response. And on hers, I just said, I can't even remember what I said, but.
You just said L.
No, I think I did. I was like, sorry, not sorry, something. And she got mad at me for it. She got mad at me that I posted that on there in like a negative light. I was like, I'm not going to condone cheating.
Yeah, and especially condone like
the fact that you like weren't owning up to it. And it was so dumb. The whole situation was dumb. And she made a big deal of it, you know, at work. And everyone was like, oh my gosh, like, did she like really say that? And I was like, yeah. It was like, she posted that like on the public page for me to see, but didn't want to see the fact that it was like, there was so much like in accountability, but
people like this always, they always get so ballsy too behind a screen. Mm-hmm. And then whenever their behavior is exposed to somebody, mm-hmm. they lose their mind and they attack you. Mm-hmm. Like, you're the one that did this. You're the one that said this stupid thing. You're the one you're the one that's being toxic. And then the moment that I literally just point out like, hey, that's gross. Like that's toxic. Like why would you, they lose their shit.
Yeah.
Every time.
They go crazy. It's like, it's unfathomable to them that they have to like own up to their actions.
Yeah. And like, she did admit she cheated, but it's also crazy. It's like a double-edged sword. It's like, okay, you should admit to like the bad things that that you did in this scenario. Not that it has to be public. Like you can talk to the person directly.
Yeah, it can be one-on-one.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's crazy that she just casually was like, letting go of the guy I cheated on. It's like, did you say that because you genuinely just want to like clear the air? Or did you say that because you don't really see it as a problem? So what if it's family? That's the tough part. There's a family member of ours that I can think of. Who I guarantee you is not listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
So I don't care. And even if they are, I don't care. If you're going to act like a maniac, then you're going to get told that you're a maniac. So, like, we have a grandparent that hurts a lot of people.
And, whether it's intentional or not.
Yeah. And, like, but the thing is, like, you brought up in the beginning shared experiences, right? Mm-hmm. As a family. Like, I think that your direct family, you move into the same houses together, same neighborhoods, same schools, same, like, groups of friends, right?
Have the same, you know, VHS player.
Yes.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, VHS.
We had, like, three movies. We had The Borrowers.
Bobbers.
Yeah, we had Twisted.
Did you call it Bobbers?
No, that was Jonathan.
Are you sure?
It was Jonathan.
Okay.
And also, like, Toy Story. Anyway.
Bugs Life.
Bugs Life. That's true. We had Bugs Life. Did we have the second? I think we had the second
Toy Story. I forgot. Oh, I thought you were going to say second Bugs Life. Is there?
No, there isn't.
Okay.
I wish there was.
You know what, though? It's kind of good that they didn't.
Yeah.
Like, just let it be.
Yeah, there's so many movies that have gotten ruined.
Tainted.
Kung Fu Panda 4, for example.
We'll link your review.
Thank you. actually, yeah, this will probably come out right after my review, but...
Yeah, this will come out in like 3 weeks, so... Okay. Yeah. Cool. Anyway, so what I was saying is with these shared experiences, right? You have your direct family, and then you have your extended family, where maybe you don't have shared experiences in that way, but I think that there are certain things that, like, are almost imprinted in your DNA, reactions to certain things, certain mm-hmm. tendencies.
Yeah.
And so, like, my point is, yes, we can be empathetic about the pain that somebody has been through in their life, but we're younger. We've had less time to figure things out, mm-hmm. and we are taking accountability for our actions. We're taking responsibility for our life, and we're doing the things necessary to do good by people. And so I just don't think anybody should get a pass, especially at that age, especially mm-hmm. when you're an adult. I don't think you should get a pass because you're hurt. Oh, you're hurted? Like, we've all been hurt, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've all been hurt.
Yeah. It's, you know, like, oh man, the show BoJack Horseman is so good. I don't know if you've seen it.
I've seen the picture, but
yeah, like clips. It's BoJack Horseman is such a terrible person, and he's always upset throughout the whole 5 seasons that, you know, like, no one ever, like, makes him accountable because he's a celebrity and, oh, whatever. He, like, goes on air and says, I'm sorry, and then it is. But he has done so many horrible things. He let his friend overdose. He almost killed, you know, a co-star. There's just so many different things that were terrible and horrible. And he doesn't get a pass because his mom and his dad were abusive to him. He doesn't get that pass.
Yeah.
Because that's in the past, and we shouldn't let the past define us. And I like to think there was a little bit of a change of heart those last few episodes, but it's just kind of hard to say because there isn't a 6th season, which is fine because I like how it ended. But it's BoJack Horseman doesn't get a pass because he was hurt in the past. And I think it's the same with family members, with friends, you know, with anyone.
Yeah.
I think we should all be mature enough to grow past that, and just to grow past it.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think it is helpful to try and understand the reasons why you have certain tendencies.
Yeah.
So talking with somebody that you trust, somebody in a relevant relationship with you, mm-hmm. You know, for me, like, it's me and Cole talk to each other all mm-hmm. the time about this because we're married. Like, it's very important to figure out what's causing these mm-hmm. actions, or at least what's, like, underneath them. Because if you're just trying to correct the action, you're focusing on the symptom.
Yeah.
And you need to focus on the disease, right? Like, a symptom of having cancer might be weakness. Right? You're very weak. It's hard for you to stand up. I don't even know, like, actually the symptoms of cancer, but, like,
yeah.
at the end of the day, if you're not actually looking at those symptoms and going, okay, what's causing this, then the cancer is going to spread.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that it's okay to do that, but that requires you admitting there's a problem. And
yep.
these people, these, whether they are like literal narcissists or they are just like people that can't take accountability,
mm-hmm.
and not can't as in can't, but like they just choose not to.
Yeah, they won't.
They can't even get to the point where they go, all right, I have this problem and I want to figure out like what's causing it so that I can make it better. And pairing all of that with a lot of apologies.
Yes.
They don't ever do that. And so not only like, it doesn't matter what you do. If you point out the symptom, which is them like raising their voice at you or saying something manipulative to you, like, oh, wow, you're going to see me again in 2 years? Like, that's yeah. manipulative.
Yeah.
And so like whether or not it's the symptom or you actually point out probably the disease, which is like, hey, like I know that you were hurt by this thing and I feel like it's fueling a lot of these actions and that's not okay. They literally just won't own up to it.
Yeah.
So I just want to relate that back to this whole idea of like what it's like to be a sibling and just have that like level of connection with somebody. Like love is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose to love somebody. You can choose to act out of hatred towards somebody.
Or fear or
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah. So we're recognizing that there are people that act in a way that's destructive to
mm-hmm.
what we want in life. It takes away from our goals and really just like steals our happiness. And they only care about themselves. And so my question is like, where are you at in your life with realizing some of these things? And like, what are you doing to make things better?
I'm trying my best to be around people that uplift me and they support my actions and you know, call me out when I do something dumb. You know, people that are happy with me when something goes right, and you know, people that empathize with my emotions. And I'm trying to do better at being that way for other people. You don't want to give love to someone that doesn't reciprocate it. You don't want it to go to waste on the wrong person, for especially for too long. But yeah, I think I'm just trying to cut out the people that don't truly care for me, and I'm trying my best to care for people that I guess deserve it, if that makes sense.
Just trying to like gauge what people are in your corner, and like, you know, this is the struggle with all the religious stuff, is like, how can I even want to move forward in a relationship with somebody that thinks that certain things that are integral to me are going to be the reason why I end up in hell?
Yeah.
That is so hard. Like a lot of religious people have this like ironclad perception of family and what it means to be family. And they care about that more than they care about you. Like they care about the perception and the image and like what family means more than they care about the actual members of their family and who they are as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're like, when there's something that is integral to you, for me, question everything. When that is like a deep part of who I am, and I can't be accepted for that because the things that I question lead to blasphemy or whatever else you want to call it.
Yeah.
And you think that I'm going to be punished for that.
Yeah. Like what, when you think that me doing something that is so like deeply rooted in my soul is bad, it's like, I shouldn't be punished by those that you know, that love me or whatever, for doing something that just makes sense. And obviously it's not like I want to go, you know, like the philosophy of like questioning everything. It's not necessarily like, oh, well, is meth really bad for you? And then like you go like try it and you like get addicted. It's like you like research it and you look into it and you make sure like you're in a good scenario before you try anything. And
yeah,
it's like, are there really any like medicinal uses for meth? Probably not.
Yeah. And to your point, this will kind of hit home for both of us. It's one thing to ask non-meth users if meth is bad. It's another thing to ask meth users if meth is bad, mm-hmm. right? Or people that have used it. And so if meth is truly bad, like most people that have done meth, they're addicted to it and they hate it. They yeah. hate that they're addicted to it and they understand it's ruining their lives. They feel like they can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
In contrast, if you are, let's say, inside of a high pressure religion and everyone in that religion tells you that everything outside of it is wrong, like you're not doing your full research if you leave it at that. You need to talk to the people outside of it and say, hey, like,
yep,
is it really that horrible to be outside of the Mormon church? And most people will say, well, I mean, I have things that are difficult in my life. Like life kind of sucks sometimes, but that has nothing to do with that. That's just life. And for the most part, yeah, I enjoy my freedom. Or most people will be like, what's the Mormon church? Like,
yeah.
Cause it's not even that like,
yeah,
it's not even that prevalent with people's.
It's just like a detective. Like you don't just go ask like one person for their side of the story. And then they say, and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that must be truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you go ask, like with a car wreck, I think you were talking about this in a previous podcast episode, but it's like, oh, okay, so this is the driver of the Jeep. And it's like, what did you see? And I saw this and this and that. Okay. And then like, I'm going to go ask, you know, the driver of this BMW. And oh, I saw this and this and this.
Of course it's a Jeep and a BMW.
I know. I was like, I've already done the Jeep. I got to go pick another bad car.
Oh, man.
And then there's the Giga Chad and the 4Runner, and he's just like,
Giga Chad.
Yeah, the BMW is changing lanes without his turn signal, and then
classic.
And then he just smashed into the Jeep at like 90 miles an hour, and they both blew up.
Oh wow! I was thinking it was gonna be like a 30 mile an hour like in town thing. You went straight for like the Autobahn. Jeez, dude.
But it's the.
Yeah.
The detective doesn't go ask one person. He asks every possible person that's there, like, you know, where were you at this time on this day? You don't just go ask, like, one source, you know, because it's going to be biased, you know, like the BMW driver is like, oh, well, I wasn't even going that fast. You know, it's like, the Jeep ran into me.
Question, was it a head-on collision?
No, it was a T-bone.
Ooh, T-bone steak. I think part of it is just figuring out, like, what traits do I want my family to have? Like, if you are in this place where you're wanting to choose your family, and you're wanting to choose who your siblings, right? If you're going to have some friends that just get you, and they're basically going to be like your brothers and sisters, like, what traits do I want them to have? Full disclosure, they have the same right to say that about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They have the same right to look at you and be like, hey, like, what traits do I want my family to have? And so it's, you have to like go both ways with it, where not only are you looking for the right traits in other people, but you're seeking to exemplify those yourself.
Yeah.
And when you look at the traits of your current family and it does not align with that at all, if you have family members that absolutely refuse to ask hard questions, and that's something that matters more to you than hardly anything else, then you probably can't have a relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that you can't ever talk to them ever again.
Yeah.
But it does.
Some situations, it's necessary. But
sure, totally. I would say for that very toxic type of person, mm-hmm. that needs to be a hard cutoff. They are only going to leech energy from you. But for people that they're not necessarily being toxic to you, they're just not aligning with the traits that you want to surround yourself with. Just kind of like lower or even drop the amount of like effort that you're putting
in. Or I guess like lower the importance that they place on your life.
Ooh.
I clicked with that one.
That's good. I really like that.
Yeah.
Like lower we have certain people on a pedestal, or like there's a hierarchy of relationships in our life.
Yeah.
And so maybe just excuse the title, whether it's the title of mom or it's the title of brother or uncle, like I said earlier, like remove the title, look at them as an individual and look at it objectively. And if you need to, you can place them lower on the hierarchy. Yeah. Be like, hey, you're a person that I still care about, but I only have this much energy to put into other people, and I'm going to be very selective with that, not because it's selfish, but in fact because it's selfless. I talked about this in the episode before this one, which you haven't seen yet. No one has seen it yet. But we talked about how like it is not selfish for you to do this. The most selfish thing for you to do is to hold on to these things that don't serve you. Because if we all have an impact to make, and if we all have growth to experience, and that is going to positively impact the world, our species as a whole is going to benefit from you being your most healed self. Mm-hmm. And you choose to keep yourself in an unhealed state by holding on to these painful relationships just because you don't want to experience the pain or the shame of letting it go, or you don't want to hurt their feelings, that's selfish.
Yeah. You can do so much more without toxic people in your life. Like being in a positive environment is so much better. For mental health, obviously, but also physical health, because they correlate. Totally. I'm pretty sure anyway.
It's
like if I'm, you know, like mentally tired or I'm burnt out, it's like I start to get, you know, runny nose and sick. And then I have to take, like, your body forces you to take a day off and to recuperate because you're just pushing too hard. And I think it's the same way with toxic people and family members or whatever.
And even people that are just like totally not on the same page as you.
Yeah.
Even if they're not being toxic.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just not, you know, being around with people that don't align with your vision is not conducive to your vision.
Yeah. I imagine like a tree, like if you and all the other people in your life are trees, mm-hmm. right? First of all, there are some people that there are some trees that just don't want to grow.
Yeah.
Now, I would assume every tree actually wants to grow, but that's besides the point. Like, there are some trees around you that are just going to be like, yeah, I'm fine where I'm at. It's like, okay, buddy. So whatever, yeah. Right? You move on. But like, let's say there are people that are wanting to grow, or they're at least not actively like causing destruction. But like, as a tree, if you're trying to grow upwards towards your highest self, and there's another tree that's growing, but they're growing in a different direction than you, it takes effort and energy for you to reach your branches out and wrap around them and kind of pull yourself close, right? And maybe you can help them mm-hmm. and help them see like, hey, grow in this direction, right? That's ultimately their choice. And you shouldn't have to try and convince everybody to do exactly what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, let's say both directions are good. Right? Let's say that the earth is round and both trees are like this and they are growing upwards, but they're growing apart. It's like, it takes effort. And if you're holding on to them, you're either going to pull yourself in their direction or you're going to pull them in your direction. And if they're unwilling to move or change, then sometimes you just have to let go so that you can continue to grow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that we're growing together.
Yeah.
And I wish that we were like physically closer because we live in different states.
Yeah, maybe not the same house.
Nah.
It'd get a little cramped.
I'd have to beat you up.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably. No, but I don't know. I mean, who knows what the future holds with all that. But I'm obviously grateful for you coming on and talking about all this. But more importantly, like, I know that it's a difficult time.
Yeah.
You're almost 19.
Yeah.
18, 19.
Like, a month.
Yeah.
Probably, like, less than that because it's April 12th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little Aries boy.
You guys are going to have to explain astrology. I just don't get it.
We will. Don't worry.
Someday.
Because
I think it's dumb, but I'm starting to question that.
You should. I used to think it was dumb, too. And then I...
Sounds like a bunch of hippy-dippy baloney.
Hippy-dippy baloney. Well, that's pretty much what this whole podcast is. It's hippy-dippy baloney.
Yeah.
So, what do you see? We go downstairs and make a hippy-dippy baloney sandwich.
Do we have baloney?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's disgusting.
I did say we had to go to Walmart, though.
True.
Not just for Legos, even though it's the most important thing on the list.
For you.
Yeah. Is the baloney the
Yeah, baloney's on the list.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited. I've said this to pretty much every guest so far. Like, I want to have you on again when
maybe it's in summer when I come back out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might make sense.
Yeah.
You know, if there was one last thing that you could say just about the question of today, which is what is the purpose of siblings after everything that we've talked about, what would you say?
Don't be afraid to leave people that hold you back. If someone or something's holding you back, I'd get away. Even if it's not like permanently, like we were talking about, if there is someone that isn't aligning with your vision or cutting off the flow of those creative juices, I'd do it. You know, what are they going to do about it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. Yeah, and I'll add to that too. Like, the right people for you are out there, but you're not going to find them if you don't look.
Yeah.
If you're just going to sit with what you have and tolerate it, that's how life works. You get what you tolerate, not what you deserve. So if you feel that you deserve more, stop tolerating less.
Yeah.
Damn. I surprise myself sometimes.
Word.